let's jump into this thing. I'm probably belaboring this point, I suppose. By the way, I'm not done to the Jeremiah either. But not this morning. This is that, who's next? Who's the next one to fall? Who's the next one to crumble? Who's the next one to cave in? Who's the next one to give in and give up? And we're all potential for doing that. So what we're looking at this morning is, who's next? Who do I expect? Why do I expect most of us to cave in or give in, kind of a thing? And I've got 17 pages of notes. But just remember, we're in part four, and they're just one big long set of notes. And we are in the segment part four, which is around page 12 or so, if you print them off. And on my Wednesday nights, I got to tell you folks, on Wednesday nights, lately I've been really sleepy. I listened to my Wednesday night sermon again, just from this last Wednesday, and I don't know if you noticed, but there were two or three places I was floating off into la-la land while I was talking during the sermon thing. So, I don't know. Pretty tired. By the time I get home and drive through the Badlands, to get home and get this thing going, I'm just kind of not what I should be. But so I wanted to just do a fast review this morning, just to point out the main highlights. See, I got the yawning going already. Oh, boy. From Wednesday night, that would have been part three. And why do people give up? Why do they go that way? Let's see what we got here. Part three. Here's what we talked about Wednesday night. The biggest point I thought was people can't take the preaching of Paul. That was the point that was made. All these tough pastor guys, all these tough fathers and parents and people, you know, that think they can take hard preaching, and they can't take Paul. I mean, they really can't take Paul. I don't understand why they can't take the goodness of the Savior, the goodness of God. Well, part of it's because it has nothing to do with them. Christ did it all. They can't imagine for some reason that Christ would not impute anything to it. They just think that's just too much. And that's Romans 1, where they say that we bring God down to our level. Well, why can't God do that? He's God. He paid. What did he die on the cross for? If he paid it all, then why don't people accept the fact that he paid it all? Anyway, so the people can't take the preaching of Paul. Just get in there one time, go visit a church sometime if you're a pastor or whatever someday. And we're going to talk about Titus chapter 2 this morning. And you're done. You're done with that stuff. These Baptist guys think that they got 1st, 2nd Timothy all right, where they got the standards and the qualifications of a preacher. You know, not divorced, all that kind of stuff. Their kids are horrible and all this kind of stuff, but they think they got it together. Why don't they jump into Titus? Titus even has some qualifications, if that's what they want to call. None of us are qualified. Not today. Christ makes us, by his grace, we can get up and preach. That's the only reason that thing works. But anyway, people just can't take Paul. And it's just really weird, because Paul's got the greatest message of all. And they just can't take it. Pride, conceit, whatever. Everybody likes what they live in. Then I got in here being sublime. You know, bewitched, tricked, seduced. And I think my most important point is how do you know you're being seduced? How do you know you're being sublime? That means you're being taught something you don't know you're being taught. How do you know that? By following the King James Bible and doing what it says anyway, whether you like it or not, whether you think you should wear this or buy this or go there. Follow the scriptures. Is it modest? Is it not? I had a conversation yesterday with somebody that just floored me about the modesty thing. So, and I just leave that one alone, I guess. We're having our minds changed. People don't realize that our minds are being changed by our television, by our commercials, by the magazines we look, by the radio programs, the music that we listen to. There's things in that music. It's been documented. Our minds are being tweaked. And why doesn't that bother people? Stick to the book, trust it for what it says, and make the purposeful decision not to do something, even though we may like it or whatever, because we're having our, you know, this is the craziest thing to say, but there's people out there that believe in queerness, perversions, that 10 years ago they would never have believed that. That tells me that all of us are capable of following the ways of the world's mentality if we don't stay in our book. And our kids are being sublimed something terrible in the school. homeschools too, the curriculums, the video. It's just an amazing thing. So we have to realize that we're being blinded or sublimed and that sort of a thing. So Bewitched music. Anyway, so that was that thing. Then another one that just frustrates the fire out of me is we're not avoiding, we're not withdrawing from the places and the people we should be. For whatever reason, we can justify. Boy, I tell you what, that's what I heard yesterday. It was just a bunch of justification. We're supposed to turn away from this. We're supposed to withdraw from this, and we don't. So as a result, we eventually catch up in their stuff. Why don't we realize that? That if we still hang around the evil communication, the those that don't agree with Paul's teachings, all that kind of stuff, that we will not go their way. Bible says we will go their way. They will not go ours unless we're strong with our testimony, visually, orally, mentally in our conversations. You know, it's the guys, it's the man that's supposed to be out in this world, earning the bucks, fighting the war, making the stands, talking for his family. It's not the family that's supposed to be doing this. The family's supposed to be home being a family. That's unheard of. So that stirs me up. Then I got a bunch of notes here on people that love the present. They just love the present world. Demas followers, I call them. They even think politics is exciting. You get involved in the political scene. So I got some notes in there about Daniel that you can read from those if you haven't yet. Then there's the classic rebellion. Some folks are just rebelling because they're just rebelling. It's witchcraft, it says. It's a sin of witchcraft. So we're being seduced. We're being bewitched. And we get around this stuff. We start to rebel against Paul. This guy that told me about the modesty thing for his wife, so why am I rebelling if there's no standard I'm to follow? There is a standard you're to follow. King James Bible, Paul. Why is this so difficult and frustrating for people? The flesh, and then I've got on here the fact that maybe they're not even saved. Another Jesus, et cetera, et cetera. So, those are the notes from Wednesday night that I slept sleepingly preached. No authority. Who's your final authority? Your Bible? When somebody gives you a question, or you come up with a question in your mind, do you reach over to your Bible and want to find what it says? Or do you know it all now? Have you got your Bible all down now? What is your final authority? That which is perfect? Word of God, Paul's writing? They're inspired, preserved, you know the story there. The law, the Old Testament, the Gospels, your mom and dad, your pastor? Which one, the previous pastor, the present pastor, or the one you got? The one you're going to have here in a couple months. Who's going to make your final authority here? Church teaching? Your Baptist teaching? Maybe the community is your final authority because you've got to go their way. How about your Facebook family? You want to have friends? They will become your final authority because you got to. I just get so tired of reading that. I do it to read up on people, but otherwise I don't spend a lot of time on there. Just so you know, I don't communicate with people a whole lot other than Hugh asking what he's doing on there. You got to do it. Yep, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I saw your picture. You and your wife there in the car the other day. You got hair in your head and you're all young looking and all that stuff. What are you doing on that woman's thing there, Hugh, anyway? You chance to talk to your son, I see. That's good. People's final authority is Acts chapter 2. Trying to have favor with all the people. That's what we're doing. Look at how many people are on Facebook. All we want are friends. They will have just to have a number of friends. They don't care that they disagree. They don't care that they don't agree with me. I had people write to me and ask me to be their friend, and they wouldn't give me the time of day in the previous. So there's an ecumenical, women busy-bodied farce book just coming up with numbers and being friendly with everybody. Oh, God has so blessed me this morning with my children. Yes, and 2 hours ago you were thrilled that they were in bed. Facebook, MindBook, Mindlessness, Mindless.com or something. Then we talked about lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So that's why people are quitting, giving up. Tops are going down, skirts are going up, Bibles aren't being read, people are going to church, just go to church. They're doing anything. They're going places you ought not go, and they're getting mad about the Paul stuff, and they're breaking fellowship with their own family members. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, let's look at part 4 this morning. How much time have I got? 45 minutes or so. That's plenty. Am I yelling again? It sounds like I've got my whine voice on. Got my cam over there. I got my cam here. We're all working here. Hope the sound is working. Here we go. Part 4. Here's a And some of these I may even talk about Wednesday night. I'm not really sure. Part four, the notes are available, by the way. I just don't have them written up for today's date, but you just click on last week's notes, and they're all there, caught up. Here we go, another one for this morning. And then we'll be done with this morning, I think. Rejecting Paul's teachings puts you in, this is what it puts you in. When you give up on this Paul stuff and this rightly divided stuff, this is what you find yourself in. You will find yourself in folly. In the folly, which is a wasted, vain, empty waste of time. Folly, it's just a joke. It's not even worth anything, you know. Well, it's funny because Paul says that he wants us to bear with him a little in his folly. Because people, I know Paul realizes that he's crazy. He's talking about the resurrection from the dead. How crazy it must have sounded like to people in those days. Oh, yeah, coming back from the dead. Right, Paul. Yeah, right. Yes, that man that we killed on the cross, yes, he came back from the dead. Yes, right. And what we tell people today, well, yeah, Christ won't impute that sin. You mean I can go out there and I can kill somebody? Yeah, right. You know, there's folly to them. And Paul's kind of being sarcastic. Hey, put up with my folly, okay? And I'll show you something that's absolutely spectacular. He says, bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed, stay with me. You think this is silly? Stay with me, and I'll show you something you just can't get over. Or, they proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. The folly of religion is being manifest unto people if they get in that King James Bible. I drive around even this little town. And by the way, people in this town drive 15 miles an hour. 20 is our speed limit in town. 30 is the speed limit on our main road outside of town. Drives me nuts. Anyway. So, I look at people who are just living day to day to live. They're just getting up, they go make a buck, they go home, they do their thing, and pretty soon they run out of time and they hope they're good enough to go to heaven when they die because they believe in God around here. It's just really sad. It's amazing, you know. It just really is. No biblical authority whatsoever. So that's folly. You leave Paul, you're going back into the folly of religion, folly of this world. It's just a waste. It'll all burn in the judgment, whether it be a Christian judgment or the lost judgment. It's going to burn, whatever. At least in the Christian judgment, you're not going to burn. But are you really a Christian? There's that whole thing goes. You put yourself into deceit. You put yourself into a world of deceit. Oh, wait a minute. Christians are just as deceitful, if not worse so. Yeah, I understand that one. You go back into bondage. Got a bunch of verses on your notes on bondage. Bondage to the world. We have the liberty in Christ. We have a liberty. All things are lawful, people. But let's not do some of that stuff because it's a mature Christian that doesn't want to cause somebody else to stumble. It's a mature Christian that wants to cover up her body for crying out loud. It's a mature man that wants to be a man. And yet, they want to go back into the bondage. Crazy. Bondage of religion. The bondage of America's patriotic politics, political team. We're not going to fix America, people. It's not going to happen. Oh, you're just negative. You Bible people out there think everything's falling apart. Duh. When the health law that was passed without anybody reading it has a national police force inside that thing, and it also has the workings, the language for people having to take a chip. Come on. Are we getting close or what? Go through Hebrews. Go through 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Go through 1st and 2nd Peter. Find out what's starting to happen today is tribulational stuff. We're getting ready. Forget about these guys going through Revelation and talking about all this volcano in Iceland. This, who knows what the name of that thing is. Covering the black shroud over Europe. Well, that's God's judgment on Europe. Get off that. That is not. But it's getting ready for things to start happening. Health law to me is just amazing to me. I got a bunny trail this thing just for a second. We've got this guy on the military base, Fort Hood, that kills a bunch of people because on a military base they have gun restrictions, so you can't have a gun on a military base. Is this crazy or what? And so they can't defend themselves. So after this thing is all said and done, what's in the news yesterday? Tighter gun restrictions on the military base. I can't believe our thinking. They're not thinking. It's reprobated thinking, talks Romans chapter 1. It's amazing. Anyway, you go back to get away from Paul, you leave this whole thing, you find yourself in corrupted Bibles if you go back to anything. You go back to wrong division. Wrong division, profane and vain babbling, brings on an increase in ungodliness. That's what's happening. And you find yourself just caught up in religion again, because you're not going to get away from it. Jeremiah wanted to quit, and he stayed with the truth. So you quit, you're going to get caught up in something else other than a lie. Where you're going to church this morning, is it truthful? Well, the pastor might be preaching truthful. How about the people? How about the place? How about the concept? How about the community? Do we have it to stick with Paul? Stick with Paul. So there was that one. There's notes on it. You can look at the details if you like, if you want to sit down and do your own study here. Rejecting Paul's teachings of the risen Savior puts you in folly, deceit, bondage, corrupted Bibles, wrong division, folly of religion, or just back out into the world of bondage. Here's another one. Now, we did talk about this. I'll just mention this. You spend your time in the wrong book. You stay with the King James Bible, you'll realize you're being sublime. You're being seduced. You're being tricked. You'll realize that you are slipping. To have somebody tell you that you're slipping will make you mad. But if you read your Bible, you'll see that you're slipping. Maybe that's why some folks don't read their Bible. Who knows? But what they do, they're in the wrong book. They're in Facebook more than they are face-to-face with Christ in the book. Anyway, I thought that was kind of cute. And there's some quotes on there from I'm picking up on. It's just amazing. Then I've got a comment on here, a number three here, still caught up in the folly of religion. It's not that you're leaving Paul, you just got religion, and you just can't give up that thing. It's vain. It's another Jesus. It's a magical Jesus. Jesus will fix everything in your life if you're being a good Christian. They don't realize they're not being a good Christian because they don't read their Bible through Paul. But you get on this Facebook stuff and you hear this all the time. God blessed me today. Oh, I'm so glad that you're so blessed. I'm not being blessed today, so I must be a bad person, and oh, I'm so depressed. But I see that you're being blessed. You get on that Facebook stuff and you see people that have, oh, my husband, he's such a blessed, I'm so blessed to have such a good husband. You lie because I know that person, and you don't get along with your husband any more than you get along with AIDS. So Facebook is just a bunch of liars. It's a bunch of busybody people that are trying to, with the exception of you, of course, and me, because we're trying to, you know, that is enough. And they're picking off information. Do you realize that every time you click on one of those games or one of those sites to go to, they have to ask you for permission to take all your profile information? Why do they want that profile information? Because, there we go. So anyway, here we go here. And then we got this one. People are ignoring the times that we're seeing today. Signs of the Times, the great Seventh-day Adventist statement. The magazine, I think it is. No, you get into, I better get into some scriptures so you can use your Bibles this morning, don't I, here? Let's just jump here. So there are signs of the times. There's some comments there. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. This is probably the big, I got like 3 pages on this thing. And this is why I'm starting to realize people are going back. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. There you go. Get those Bibles going out there. I'm yakking too much about my grump and my opinion. You get on the notes, you got more scriptures, you know what to do with, but I'm just trying to save a little bit of time here, I guess. I used to hate that phrase. Don't have time, but don't turn to this, all that kind of stuff. Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says that, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now, the reason I think one of the big reasons that people are starting to give up is because they're tired of being alone. They're tired of being alone. They can't have the fellowship that they want. And is it that big of a thing that we would hang around a church for fellowship? You know they're being preached wrong. You know the music is bad. You know that the people are crummy people anyway, liars, hypocrites, as we all are. But still, you still want to be around somebody. And I understand that. But is the fellowship we're looking for the right kind of fellowship? That's my question here this morning. The reason people are going back is because they have a famine of fellowship. Those other verses, Corinthians, he says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And for now are they many members, but yet one body. See, we're talking about the body of Christ, not the local church body here. We pattern the local church after the body of Christ, which we have not done anymore. We're patterning after Acts chapter 2. They can say they're not, but when you're doing anything you can to get the community to come in, You are falling for the Great Commission. You are falling for Acts chapter 2. You're not telling people about the truth. When's the last time these guys that are bumping out here into the community, have they told people that Christ paid for everything? And when do they tell people about Paul? And I know that you got to be careful with it. I'm here. I haven't talked to you. I talked to an insurance agent. I'm slowly working it in. So I understand that. But I'm not trying to kiss up to the community so they can come to my house for Bible. So they ask me questions. I'm just trying to be the Christian amongst all this stuff and see how it works out, how the seeds can be planted. So we miss out. We miss out on a lot of things. Well, what is it that we miss out? Well, we miss out on talking to somebody. We miss out on gossip. We miss out on having dinner with somebody in a local restaurant. We miss out with fun. We miss out with all this entertainment. We miss out with having a good time. No, that's not what we're talking about here. I'm sorry that most families I know of don't enjoy being a family. I'm sorry that the family unit has been destroyed like it has. If all a family can do is sit around and watch some stupid tube, or all they can do is get mad at each other, or they don't talk to each other, or they eat at scattered different times, or if anybody brings up anything, you get hassled and challenged. I'm sorry that our families have become that way, because they have. But, so there's not even any fellowship within a family. So if you were to take my verses and take my notes here, and you could even apply these things to your personal home family, it's not going to happen. I wish it would. It's just not going to happen that way. Okay, so let's go to Romans chapter 12. Let me show you something here. We're going to look up these verses. This is on a sermon I did years ago, 2003, I think it was, on the importance of the brethren. How important it is for us. Now remember, these are verses that are talking about us as the body of Christ. We don't have anybody in a local church here at my house. It's me. That's it. You don't have anybody that we're talking about here. You go to a church someplace, some of you still do because you either haven't got permission to leave or you just can't do it or whatever. But listen, we're talking about Mark Denial. I'm talking about the Floyd family. I'm talking about Brother Bill in Texas. I'm talking about Patience. I'm talking about Michael, Brianna, Adriana, Bob Revis, Grandma Kent, White Cotton family. Sam is on that thing this morning. Sam, the submarine chief. So that's the body of Christ. We are the ones that we're to be having our fellowship with. We're the ones that we should seek out each other and have this fellowship. The local assemblies are falling apart scripturally, spiritually, and yet they're being maintained somehow because we are addicted to going to this building to have church. And I'm not against it. Paul says there's churches. There's places where you can do this. I'm not, listen, don't get me wrong. I would love to have a building where people would come and I could preach again. I miss that to the bottom of my breaking heart to have that opportunity. But here we are this morning on an internet, thanks so far anyway, until Obama gets a hold of this thing, and we can get this fellowship that we need. What is it that we need out of this fellowship? Well, we're going to find out. See, what's happening here is we are hanging around the wrong people just so we can hang around people. We are finding that lost people are better friends than the Christians in our churches. We're finding out that our familiars are just like Jeremiah and Nehemiah had. People that we are close to are wanting us to raise that skirt. They're wanting us to lower those tops. They're wanting you to go sleeveless. They're wanting you to go swimming. They're wanting you to watch this movie. They're wanting you to eat this. They're wanting you to go here. Come with us to this thing. Go out here. Act idiotic. Be loud. Be stupid. They want us to do these things because that's what they're doing, and they're having a great time. So we miss that. No, we shouldn't miss that. We should be thrilled this morning to see your names on this internet, and I am thrilled to see it. It is hard to make the contact. It is hard to talk. It is hard to get involved with ourselves. But let's look at this thing. Look at Nehemiah and Jeremiah. Nehemiah had these Sanballat and Tobiah, only to find out that at the end of chapter 6 that Tobiah was related to Nehemiah. So we got family, compromise, mocking, financial issues, causing you to do wrong just to show that you're not real. I mean, all those things happen to Nehemiah and are happening to us. So we quit because we're lonely. We're lonely for the kind of people we can talk with. The other day when I got a chance to talk to this insurance guy, I just let her rip because I hadn't talked about it for months. And it was great. And he listened. We had a great time. We're going to talk about it some more, blah, 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 blah. Romans chapter 12. Let's see if we can do this right. Romans chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 10. Get your Bibles open there. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. He says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Now, we won't look at them all. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, verse 13, verse 15 to 16. Let me read the list here on a list basis. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if they're not trying to pick at you or they got this stuff going on? No, I'm not saying that we should be this way towards them. Because in all respects, Paul tells us to avoid these people. He tells us to withdraw from people who don't follow Paul. He tells us to have no company with. Even in the family, he says, if they're not doing the Paul thing somewhat, he says, withdraw, have no company with. I'm not saying that they're our enemy, but we're supposed to pull away from that. Oh, I can't. They provide this, da, 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 da. Well, I know, but that's why we're having the struggles we're having. So don't quit with this Paul stuff. Don't quit listening to these sermons. Don't quit the website. Don't quit your Bible just because it can't go perfect in your life. But these are the reasons why people are leaving. Here's some more. He says, in honor, preferring one another. This is that little section of verses in there. Distributing to the necessity of saints. We should be helping each other. Given to hospitality. Well, listen, you guys can come out to South Dakota anytime you want. Matter of fact, if you come out in the next 2 weeks, you can help me move again. Paint the rooms, all this kind of stuff. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. When's the last time you've had something exciting in your life and rejoicing? Not a fleshy thing so much, but just a time of rejoicing for the Lord, and you had somebody there to share it with. You don't. You tell people what you read in your Bible about Paul. You tell people about this. Look at this nice dress I found. It actually goes down to my ankles. It actually, I'm covered up. I feel comfortable. And they're going, well, I just look so frumpy. Well, I appreciate the rejoicing with me. I appreciate that, you know. We miss that sort of, we miss those kind of people. Weep with them that weep. Sure, people have it tough out there. No jobs, no money. Health issues are terrible. Be there for them. Weep for them. Wouldn't it be nice if you had somebody not just to listen to you whine, but just to be there for you when you're having a hard time? We miss that. That's the fellowship we're missing, according to the scriptures. It says, be of the same mind one toward another, Romans chapter 12. Be of the same mind? Where are you headed off this morning? Where are you headed off tonight? Where are you going to go to work tomorrow? Are we of the same mind? I am not of the same mind as the people at the school. I promise you that. And that's hard to be there. Hugh, you're not of the same mind of your bosses when they come in. How many of you grandmas out there, there's one right there, how many of you kids out there, young people, sick kids, right, young people, are of the same mind of the family? We're not anymore. We're lonely for the fellowship that we can sit around. Oh, I would love to sit around on the table out there up at the Grandma K Ranch and sit at the table there and have some of those healthy little treats you would make for me. Every once in a while you make me an unhealthy thing. That was good, too. Matter of fact, Grandma, you make unhealthy food about as good as anybody can. And we'd sit there and we'd talk. We'd have the like mind. We would talk about these things. We would understand where we're coming from. I got a verse the other day somebody sent me from Daniel. Talks about that at the times of the tribulation, the wicked will not understand. But we will. I thought, boy, that's a good verse. We talk with people about the health law. We talk to people about America. We talk to people about the King James Bible, Paul, the goodness of God, and all these things, and not swimming, and not being undressed, and all this stuff. And we could sit around and we have the same mind to talk about that stuff that the world out there does not understand. And they can't even be around it. So who gives up? We're the ones giving up. They don't give up and say, well, let's go to Paul now. Let's go to our King James Bible. Let's fix the church now. Men, get together. Let's get this thing back to Paul. Let's go over here with the neighbors. And let's get this. Let me show you something. You know, be a kind of stuff. No, we don't do that. We give up and go that way. Oh, things are all right now. Come on. Open the King James Bible. You will see that things are not all right. Come on. It says, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. That's what Paul says. We like to be around people who are not so conceited that they think that they're doing a good enough life that they get God's blessing. That's not Paul's teaching whatsoever. Matter of fact, by the way, I'm going to talk tonight on Christ-like. I'm getting tired of people, these Christians, who think they're being Christ-like. So we should be Christ-like. No, we are not to be Christ-like. I'll talk about that tonight. So I want to get this thing done this morning. Look at Romans chapter 14. Come on, Romans chapter 14, verse 13. I'll actually read this verse. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. We're looking at the fact the reason that people go back is because there's a famine of proper fellowship. And we're lonely for the right kind of fellowship. Romans, what I say here, Romans 14, verse 13. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore, but judge us rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know too many examples of the brethren who have tried to trip me up, trip somebody else up, trip you up. I know some names up there on that website list right now where you got judged and criticized. Now, should we not judge and not criticize? Oh, we should. Paul tells us that we should. We're to grow in judgment. So, don't turn this thing around on you and say, okay, well, yes, I'm going to go to church today. I'm going to go be with some people tonight. I'm going to go visit this. I'm going to go there, here, and there, and everywhere. And I'm not going to judge them anymore because, you know, I'm not supposed to do that baloney. Yes, you are. You're supposed to judge them if they're not following the Paul thing. And not that you're going to preach at them or hammer them, but you're supposed to make that judgment and then not go there. That's a Paul teaching. And seek out the fellowship of the right family. You can only do it on the internet. Okay. You got telephone. You got internet. You got email. Don't do it through Facebook because it's just baloney. Unless you're going to start preaching on Facebook, which I've thought about doing, but all they're going to do is delete you. You know, it's like sitting in a church service where pastor's preaching a lie and, you can't get up and leave, although some people have. But you just got to sit there and take it. No. On Facebook, I don't like that. Boom, he's no longer a friend. Whatever. So, we're supposed to do that. But yet, here you are trying to do right, trying to dress right, trying to talk right, trying to get the right attitude towards what's going on in this world. We know where this thing is headed. And to have the joy and the peace. Not because you're hanging around people with this fake joy and fake peace, but you got the real stuff. And they criticize you for it. They'll judge you for it. Oh, you're a Paul guy. Are you a hyper? You're a hyper dispensationalist, aren't you? Well, you're an election guy. You think that God chose you. It's just crazy. So, it'd be nice to be around somebody who is, you know, give or take a few inches, dressed properly, into modesty, understands King James rightly dividing, gets a joy when you talk about something you learned in your Bible. You know, wouldn't that be nice? That'd be nice. Romans 14, verse 19. Romans 14, verse 19, as you flip open your pages, I hope, out there. Romans 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Okay? Conversations towards you, is it edifying? Do the people who talk to you, is it edifying? Or do they cut you down? Do they knock you down? Do they not believe? Is that edifying? No, I know too many illustrations where you're not being edified at all out there. It's a battle. And the only way to get that peace is to jump into their boat. That will give you an outside peace, but it will not give you an inside peace. And sometimes we get tired of not having an outside peace, and they go their way. And that's irritating, frustrating, and sad. That we still are ashamed enough of the risen Savior and of Paul and the King James Bible that we will still not at least say something and try to do the best in your ability to say no and avoid. But wouldn't it be nice if we could be around people that enjoy this kind of peace with Paul and the risen Savior and the King James Bible? You see, we lack that kind of fellowship today. And as a result, people are quitting. They just can't take it any longer. Another one, Romans 15, verse 5. Romans 15, verse 5. Romans 15, verse 5. The God of peace and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. That's the risen Savior part. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also receives us. That's to the glory of God. Don't forget, to the glory of God. How can you receive somebody that dressed slutty to the glory of God? Yes, not in a judgmental manner. Bring him to church. Bring him to your house. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when we pal along with the world, that we become part of this world, which Paul is adamant that we're not supposed to, Wouldn't it be nice if we could be around some people that we can receive to God's glory? That they're dressed right. They're talking right. Don't get me wrong, I'm not looking for this perfect Christian stuff. I'm just saying there's a difference between Paul's teachings and our lives, our manner of life, and everybody else's manner of life. Wouldn't it be nice to be around some folks with a similar kind of manner of life? And I know you folks out there are not. So, yeah, we get tired of not having similar manners of life. Manners of life. Yeah, we get tired of that. So, we quit. We go back to their manner of life because it pleases our flesh. This is why people are quitting, because of the loneliness thing here. I got a bunch of them on here this morning. How are we doing here? There should be no schism in the body. Members should have the same care one for another. One member suffer, all the members suffer. That's in Corinthians chapter 12. Sure, that's the way it should be. But it's pretty hard when we're all in the world like it's getting to be. Ephesians 4:25. Put away lying. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody would actually tell you the truth? Yeah, that looks nice. No, they think you look stupid. Speak every man truth to his neighbor. We're members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Use a good place to the devil. Wouldn't that be nice? That's the fellowship we're looking for. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, this is Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 for you Bible page flippers out there. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Oh, it's never going to happen to me. You're a bad, 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 bad Christian because you did that, you wore this, that kind of stuff. No, it's frustrating. It's hard. It hurts when it's with somebody you care about, seeing them trip up. Sure it does. But how do you want them to handle you when you trip up? I'm not going to trip up. Yes, you are. And your family's going to make you trip up. Anyway, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Comfort one another with these words. What words are those? Rapture. Don't talk to son about the rapture. Oh, the rapture. You still think the rapture is going to come? Oh, coming to cut it out. I don't believe the rapture anymore. I've been praying for the rapture for years, and he could have come and taken me out a long time ago, and he didn't. I don't believe in the rapture anymore. Yeah, what kind of comfort is that? The comfort of the rapture is knowing that we're not going to go through the tribulation. You think it's bad now? You think you're having a hard time now? You're not even playing with the horses, like Jeremiah says. We got the tough stuff coming. Oh, guess what? We don't have to have the tough stuff. That's comforting to know that. I'm one that hopes that the rapture comes before I die, unless I suddenly have a heart attack or fly off the road and run into a deer or something and boom, just instantly gone, creating more problems than people have ever seen. But I don't want to do the process of dying. But I know some people who are. Well, the comfort there is still to know it's on the other side based on Paul's teachings and authority of the King James Rightly Divided Bible. And that's what our fellowship could be based on. And then whether we wake or sleep, we live together with him. Comfort yourselves together. Edify one another. Do the people you hang around edify you in the spirit? Edify you towards what's right? Or do they edify you towards the worldly ways? Is it a battle? Is it a conflict? Most of the people we have around, it's a battle and it's a conflict. And we get tired of, we miss the fellowship. We miss the right kind of people. None of us are perfect. Don't make it sound like I'm that way. You know what I mean? We miss the fellowship around a rightly divided King James, Paul-following Bible, with us trying to change our lives somewhat to please God. We miss that. We miss that kind of fellowship. As a result, we finally wear down, and we go back to the world here. So, lastly, there's more scriptures on there. Read that thing. I hope you get my point about the lack of fellowship. I'm not saying that we're the perfect people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be conceited and arrogant and all that kind of stuff. But we need each other, and we don't have each other. The people that we're hanging around, we don't need them. You know what I'm saying? I'm not being, you know, they're dragging us down. They're changing us. We're being sublimed even by those people. And you can tell, look at how they change their dress. Look at how their lives are changing. Our lives change. Things change in time. We talked about that last Wednesday night, too. But we do change. But what we change is we change according to what the world is doing. You can't find something in a store, so you have to change. Why? So you can't find something modest. Why do they make you change? You don't have to change there. Figure something out, for crying out loud. Keep the body covered. Don't go higher. Don't go lower, because that's all you can find. Fix it. Change it. Go to one of those junky clothing stores and find stuff that wore 10 years ago. Cover yourself up. Don't be so loud. Men, be the man. The whole list of lying, the whole list of things. We don't have to change. They're going to make you change, but you don't have to. And don't compare yourself with them that compare themselves with each other, because you will find somebody not as immodest as you, but when you look at it, you're still immodest. What's the deal with that? Or you're still loud. Not compared to Betty Mouth over there. You're not as loud as she is at the restaurant. There's somebody louder than you. Pest. But I'll bet you there's somebody softer than you, too. Why can't you follow that person? There's somebody more modest than you. There's somebody more of a man than you are, a Christian man. It's sad to say, sometimes those are lost people. Those are, you know, some of these ladies out in this world, they really don't want to show themselves off. There's some men out in this world that still want to be the man. Isn't that amazing? They're not even Christian. I meet a lot of them in these parts. Okay. Lastly, go look at Ephesians chapter 4. You know this will take more than a minute here. Ephesians chapter 4, or you can go to Acts chapter 2. Take your pick. Why do we go back to the world? Why do we become Demas followers? Because we're lacking fellowship? Because we're lacking a church. Where do you find this fellowship? I know in the years past, the only place we could find this kind of fellowship was in church. We sing the same kind of hymns. We understand the music concept a little bit. We dress modestly, and we don't act like idiots unless we're playing games on church game night. That somehow we forget that we were Christians. We just, you know, you get pouty because you're losing. You act stupid and you loud, ha! And, you know, you eat like a pig, all that kind of stuff. We could do that on church night because it's family flesh night kind of thing, I guess. I don't know. But we miss the church. And we should miss the church. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us where the church ought to be. Chapter 4, 12 to 15, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Is that what's going on in your church? Because if it is, you're okay. But if it isn't, you're not okay. Because if it isn't Ephesians chapter 4, it's Acts chapter 2. Now, could you show that to somebody? Could you show somebody Acts chapter 2 why this is wrong? Can you show somebody in Ephesians chapter 4 this is what we should be striving toward? What is the work of the ministry? What are we doing as a ministry here? What are we trying to do? Win the community by being part of them and letting them know that we're all the same kind of people here. Trying to have favor with all the people, or are you designing your church after what Paul teaches? That's what that church is supposed to be designed. Lost people aren't even supposed to want to come to your church, really. They're not interested in that. But you are, and your life changed, and then the people in the community recognize that, and they want what you want, Romans chapter 11, and then you show them, and they come there and they get fed again. Is that what you have? No. I know that isn't what some of you folks have. I know that to this day. So we're not there. We don't go to church anymore. We miss it. Do you miss church so bad that you would jump back to another church, even though the doctrine's wrong, I want the fellowship? That's wrong. We have to stay away from that thing. But we miss the perfecting of the saints. That's the preaching. That's what's trying to get us to change, turn toward God, it says in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, 18, I think it is. Paul wants us to turn away from the darkness of this world and toward God, the living God, he said. And that's what you should be. You go to church, I just about guarantee you this morning or tonight or whenever you go to church again, you're going to be taught how to please that flesh and that old nature and how to get along or how to make it through your day. It's biblical psychology is what it is. Or you just be confused, whatever. So we come in the unity of the faith, Ephesians chapter 4, and the knowledge of the Son of God. unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, they grow up into Him, not into a bigger church, but in Him. Not Acts chapter 2. So why are people going back? We don't have the church that's teaching us that stuff anymore. So we're going to a church that's trying to palsy-wowsy with all the lost people, or Christians or whatever, and that's why we're not there anymore. That's why you're not in your church anymore. That's why some of you are going to quit one of these days, because you realize finally that you're being poisoned by those that lie in wait to deceive in that church. So we don't have the local church to give us what we need to get strengthened out of that thing. You know what? In my past, most of what I thought the local church was for most people was a place to go for family entertainment because they couldn't do it at home. It was a place to be taught because the dad couldn't do it at home. It was a place for ladies to fellowship with other ladies because they're tired of being in the home. It's a place to have somebody else babysit your children because you don't want to be around them. How many times do people go to church, let the kids just run around and just destroy things and be wild and crazy? What's wrong with that? There's a lot wrong with that. That's just wrong. Would you go to your boss's meeting, Hugh, and bring your, if you had little kids, bring your babies, little kids with you, let them cry and scream, let them run around while you're having a meeting with the company? Oh, but that's okay. We can do it in church. We can do it in fellowship. Because the pastor and the wife, they'll take care of our children. So part of the reason churches have gone the way they are is our fault. We let it go that way in our times, in our years. So anyway, we missed what we were supposed to be getting out of church, and churches today are all falling apart and dying, and if they're growing in number. Isn't that amazing? How many visitors did you have this last week? Oh, we had 3. I always used to say, well, I was always happy to see a second-time visitor. The first-time visitor, it's good to have you here. Well, I'll be really thrilled if you come back next week. And sometimes, believe it or not, people actually came back. Isn't that amazing? And I would be thrilled. Hey, you came back. Now I'm excited. This is your 3rd time. I'm really excited. That's the kind of stuff. Because they weren't coming back for the fun and fellowship. They're coming back for the preaching. I hope that's what it was. And then lastly here, just my comment, wrap this thing up here. We must be a soldier. People are quitting because they don't want to be a soldier. I know, the fighting wears us out. Paul says this. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The world is hard. Christians are hard. It's hard to be a Christian. You need to endure that. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. Here's one of his testimonies in Corinthians. For when we were coming to Macedonia, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, our flesh had no rest. But we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fear. That's what's going on. And Christians are tired of it. You know what? Part of the reason there's fighting, and it says without were fighting, you know why there's some fighting is going on in the church? Because they're not teaching the truth anymore. And there are a few people left in that church trying to make things right, like you're gonna fix your church. You're gonna go against your pastor who has a degree in Greek and Geek and Hebrews and Herbrews. That's not gonna happen. So, you know, well, he's doing all right. He's trying. Hey, listen, go to a restaurant has a new cook or a cook that doesn't know how to cook the right kind of food, and he slaps some of that military garbage on your plate, and you're going to eat that anyway, and you're going to sit there and say, oh, he tried to cook today. That was good. That's not going to happen. You're not going to put up with that. I know somebody who criticizes somebody's cooking all the time. I know somebody's like that. She'll make something for the meal, whatever, and he'll say, well, I don't like that. And I wish that person would say, but don't eat it. You know, if you don't like my macaroni and cheese, if you don't like the way I fix the steak, if you don't like the way I fix the eggs, then don't eat it. Okay? So if you don't like what's being preached, and if you don't like the way things are going, if you don't like the way that's being taught, whatever, then don't go there. Don't put up with it. God gave us a Bible to be a soldier. Not a militant thing that's going on in this country. We're not going to win the country over with our guns. We're using our guns to defend ourselves. We're not going to win the country back. Come on. How long has this country been gone anyway? a lot longer than just 3 years. So we don't need this kind of a testimony of fightings without and fears within. Paul said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You ever seen a clutch run? You ever seen somebody who's uncoordinated, watch them run? They look a little weird, tack, running down the road, you know, hands flattened through the air. That's not how we're supposed to be as a Christian. We're supposed to have this thing together. Paul says, fight the good. Here, look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we'll be done. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll take some time to look up one verse here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. You got the pages going, everybody? Right? Sure you do. Sure you do. You have your Bible with you this morning. I'm sorry I don't use it as much. I'll slow down for the one tonight, believe me. Christ-like. I'll show you the verses. That is not true. Okay, I suppose some of you haven't got it going. Here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, for unto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hang on with this Paul stuff. Don't give in. Don't accept things just because they're trying. Jeremiah says, for the pastors have become brutish, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Well, I'm sorry to say that the pastors today have become brutish, and yet the men have become brutish, the women have become brutish, and they're all jumping into these brutish churches. What's brutish? Insensible. Stupid. That's in the 1820s. It is. It says stupid. Unfeeling. Ferocious. Brutal. Savage. Gross. Carnal. Ignorant. Uncivilized. Untaught. Look at the families. Listen, I know some families where the father is leading their family back into uncivilized manner. Uncivilized. You know what people wore when they're uncivilized? Nothing. You know what this country's doing? It's going back to not wearing anything. Here comes the summer. Clothes are coming off. Christians' clothes are coming off. Still disturbs me. We're going back to an uncivilized manner of life. Untaught. That's because they don't want to hear anything. Timothy talked about that. Ignorant. Who knows their Bible? Gross. Yeah. Dad or son or somebody. That's a gross thing. What is this? Carnal. Earthly. Physical, you know? Unfeeling. Stupid. Insensible. I can tell you some names. I wish I could tell you some names, because my flesh wants to just reach out and just strangle them. They're brutish. And Jeremiah calls that about the pastor. So, that's it for this morning. There's the stuff on why people are quitting. And, you know, the people that are quitting aren't going to read these 7 pages of notes. I know that. People that have quit are not going to dig up these 4 sermons and say, oh, I'm sorry, I quit, I want to get back. I hope they do. I hope somebody does. I don't expect it to take place, because that's not what a falling away is. I just hope that you that are out there, Mark, Floyd, Brother Bill, Patience, Michael, Brianna, Adriana, Bob, Grandma Kent, White Cotton, Sam, me, other people who watch it, Mrs. Strong. I mean, I know some people write to me all the time still and have been encouraging. You know what? I've even had some folks send money to help us, knowing that we're moving. And I tell you, we've got the brethren out there on our website. They're caring. You are caring people. I thank you so much for not abandoning us in South Dakota. You know, but we can still crumble. Every one of us can crumble. You can be asleep right now during this sermon. You cannot be looking at your Bible anymore. You can be playing the game right now. And still, you can fall apart. You can find a church again that doesn't teach you the truth, but you're so lonely for fellowship. You're so lonely for church. Yet we don't realize that fellowship out there is wrong, and that church is wrong, and we are willing to put up with a bad cook and still eat at his restaurant. And we shouldn't be doing that. That's the Paul teaching. Avoid, withdraw. And for those of us that are of the same mind, you need to stay together. And if one of us trips up, you need to be there for them, because it can happen to you. So there's the gist of this last 4 weeks of sermons here. Tonight we're going to look at Christ-like. Are we supposed to be Christ-like? It's just amazing how many people think that's the way it's supposed to be. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you still fight that. We're supposed to be like Christ. And I'll give you some scriptures tonight to show you that that is not true. So there you go. There's our series on why people are caving in. Parents, read through this. Teach it to your children. Teach it to your friends. Don't, just hang in there with this stuff. Remember, I started the whole thing off. Why are we going to cave in? Because the scriptures say so. Let's be the last to cave in. Stand strong. Find somebody who's having a hard time at home and help them. Encourage them. Be there for somebody. You know, sometimes a check doesn't hurt. But just to be there for them is good, too. So, nice to see you folks out there. We'll talk to you tonight. I hope you can make it back. Fight whatever it is that the devil doesn't want you to come back in here tonight. Be the good soldier. Don't give in. There you go.